Greetings, my family in Christ. I just want to be a little closer to you all this morning. I usually do my announcements from up there, but I just feel like getting a little closer. We have been through a very painful and difficult week as a community. And as we gather for worship this morning, we bring our grief and our anger, and we seek the hope that only God can give. And so I believe we are in the right place at the right time together this morning. And it is a privilege to gather in this time of worship with the people of God. And it is a joy to welcome you into this hour of worship. If you are joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, the Spirit of Christ holds us all together and will offer us what we need in this time of worship. So I'm glad that you're here. I would like to take a few moments to share some announcements with you as we gather. First and always, we would invite you to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there's a link that you can place in your browser. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that can make their way down and back again. And if you would sign in and let us know that you're here and pay attention to the names of the friends sitting with you on the row and make a new friend this morning. If you've been worshiping with us for a little while and praying about perhaps becoming an official member of the church, there is a new member class that is starting the Sunday after Easter on the 16th during the Sunday school hour, 9:45, downstairs in McWhorter Hall. And speaking of new members of our family, I want to take a moment to introduce to you the Reverend Shannon Baxter. Let's welcome Shannon. Shannon is joining our staff as the pastor of Congregational Care and Hospitality. He started on Monday and has already been a presence of grace for us as a staff, and I know he will be for you in the days ahead. So we hope that you'll take a moment to welcome him this morning. He'll be at the Reed Hall door after the service, and if you are a member and have a name tag, we encourage you to wear those so that he could begin to get to know you and build relationships with you. Yes. So we just wanted to say a special word of welcome to Shannon.
Thank you.
This week we are moving into Holy Week, and there are lots of special services to help us walk with Jesus to the cross and through the empty tomb. A special one I want to highlight is new this year at 6 p.m. on Good Friday. We are invited to Gordon United Methodist Church, our sister church just a mile and a half away, to have a service of the seven last sayings of Jesus. And there's more information in the bulletin in the Friday email about that, but we hope that there will be a good showing from West End. It promises to be a powerful service. The next Sunday, we'll gather to celebrate the empty tomb. There will be no Sunday school, but there will be a brunch between services. We'll have a sunrise service at 6:30, and then a service at 8:45 and 11. We will have child care, but no children's church, so we'll have the children with us in the service throughout the whole service. Speaking of worship, our service this morning is actually the worship of Palm and Passion Sunday. And the order of service is a little bit different. We're going to be walking with Jesus through the last days of his life. And so our communion service, our communion liturgy, will take place in the middle of the service. It will be an abbreviated liturgy. And after receiving communion, we'll return to our seats and then hear the story of Jesus before Pilate. And I'll share a few words of meditation at that point. So our little ones will be with us a little bit longer through communion. We'll get to have communion today with the grown-ups. And then they will go to children's church after the children's message. So I hope it will feel different, a little bit jarring, because this is a deeply important and jarring week in the life of Christians this Holy Week. So I invite you now, as we hear these words from the scriptures, to prepare our hearts and minds to take this journey with Jesus.
Let us hear a lesson from the Gospel of John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt."
Thank you.
Thank you.
With joy, joyful hope, we raise our voices. Let us welcome and worship the coming Savior. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Of Matthew. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal."
Your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
As we come to the table together today, we remember and celebrate the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples on that night. Let us hear the story again as told in the Gospel according to Matthew.
As Jesus gathered with his disciples, he took a loaf of bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. O God of our salvation, as we gather at this table this day and in our time, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all glory and honor is yours now and forever.
Amen.
And now let us pray together with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We gather with the disciples around the table, and Jesus is our host. Like the disciples, we may not feel prepared for what comes next. But in this meal, Jesus gives them what they need, his very self, his grace. And so we are invited today to come to this table and receive all that we need for the days ahead. This table is Christ's table, and everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at this table. If this is your first time to worship here in this congregation, you are welcome at this table. We will invite you to come forward as you feel led. Our choir will go first, followed by the folks in the transepts, and then the balconies, and then here in the nave. And if, as you see any space open in the altar rails, please feel free to kneel. If you will have your hands open, that will help our servers to know that you have yet to be served. After receiving, you're welcome to stay and pray at the rails as long as you would like. All of our elements today are gluten-free. If you are unable or choose not to come forward to the rails, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with the prepackaged elements. If you'll raise your hand and let me know that you'd like to be served in your seat, I'll be happy to do that. Every month when we come to the table, we have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to one of the missions of our congregation. Offering plates up front will be receiving offerings for a ministry called Shower the People, whose focus is on providing showers and mobile laundry services to those neighbors with the most barriers and most limited access to these facilities in our county. So we hope that you will remember them as you come forward as well. The table is set. The grace is here for all. We invite you to come. Thank you. Let us pray. O Christ, you have nourished us with your body and the life flow of your blood. Prepare us now to walk with you toward what comes next. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. A lesson from the Gospel, John chapter 18, 33 to 38, chapter 19, 9 to 11a, and 13 to 16a. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask me this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, the chief priests, have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children who have sat so patiently and attentively through the service. So great to have you at the communion table with us. Come on down. And thanks to those of you who sang for us. It was beautiful. Made us all very happy to see your faces praising God up there. Welcome, welcome. What a nice big group we've got today.
Mama.
Hi there. Glad to see you. You're five. That's exciting. Come on up.
I used to be four, but now I'm five.
I used to be four, too, but that was a long time ago. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I know many of you had a good time waving your palms, and I was so glad to see all of that. It was very joyful. But now we're moving into a part of the story of Jesus that gets a little sad because Jesus is getting ready to die. And that makes me sad. That make you sad too? Yeah. Sometimes there are things that make us sad and it's something we think about. Like how do we pray when we're sad? Well, let me tell you a story. It's a makeup story, but let's say once upon a time there was a little boy named Derek who was sad because his grandfather had died. He had a best friend named Sally, and Sally really loved Derek, and she knew he was sad. So she was talking with her mom at the kitchen table, and she said, "Derek is really sad, and I don't know what to do." And her mom said, "Well, Sally, first, why don't we pray for Derek? Let's pray that he will know God's love and God's comfort." And so they prayed together. And then her mom said, "And now let's think about what we can do. Maybe there's something we can do for Derek to make him feel that we love him and to help him feel better." And so Sally thought and said, "Maybe I could invite him to come over and play next week, next Saturday." And her mom said, "Yeah, I think that would be good. That would be really good." And she thought some more and said, "Maybe I could draw him a happy picture and just tell him I'm thinking about him." And her mom said, "Oh, that's a really good idea." And then Sally said, "Hey, Mom, maybe you could make him some of those oatmeal chocolate chip cookies that he likes so much when he comes over." And her mom said, "That's a great idea, because I want to do something too." So sometimes when we have friends who are sad, we can pray for them, and then we can think about, what can I do that might help? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we know that you're with us every single day. You're with us when we're sad and when we're happy. And we thank you so much for being with us. Help us always to know we can pray and we can talk to you and be with you. And help us to know what we can do to help other people feel better and to make the world a better place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and I think Pastor Stacy too. I know. Good for you. I know the order of service feels a little different for those of us who are used to the rhythm of worship here at West End. We're used to communion after the sermon, and everything feels a little bit different today. And that's somewhat intentional, because it is a different kind of day. It is Palm Passion Sunday, and through the course of this service of worship, we have walked from Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem with the palms waving to now this moment, where he stands abandoned and deserted by his disciples, accused by the chief priests, and at the mercy of Pontius Pilate. And I have to confess, I wasn't sure that I wanted to stick with this story today. After the events of Monday and all that has unfolded since, I wasn't sure that this moment that Jesus is condemned to death was what we needed to hear, or what I needed to hear. Because like you, my heart is broken. I couldn't get through much time on Monday without the tears welling up. Tears of grief and compassion for our neighbors at Covenant. And over the next few days, I learned of many connections that those in our church family have. Family, neighbors, friends who were lost in that horrible shooting. And we all grieve as a community. And so we bring that with us this morning. And I confess, I woke up on Tuesday morning and I was angry. I'm just angry that this has happened again, and it has happened here. And Nashville now is on that really long list of communities affected by mass shootings in schools. And as someone who has devoted my life to ministry in the church and who believes with my whole heart in the kingdom of God coming on earth as it is in heaven and wanting to live a life that helps bring about this beloved community, I can't fathom that God's beloved community would involve people walking around with AR-15s. I just don't understand. And so I grieve and I want to do something. And I know you do too. Regardless of our perspectives on all of these things, we want to do something. We don't want this to happen again to anyone, anywhere. And so we come to this moment between Jesus and Pilate. And it may be easy to look at this interaction and think that Jesus is powerless and helpless, at the mercy of the powers that be. The way John tells the story, Pilate is going back and forth between his headquarters, where he's interrogating Jesus one-on-one, and the chief priests. When the gospel writer says the Jews in this text, he's talking about the chief priests, the leaders, those with authority. And both Pilate and the chief priests have a lot of power. And they have the same motivation to keep that power, to keep things as they are, because as they are, they're on top. They have all the power. Now, the chief priests are threatened by Jesus and the ways that the crowd is paying attention to Jesus and following him and listening to him and the ways that he has challenged them and their authority. So they want to get rid of Jesus. He's a threat to their power. Pilate doesn't really care so much. He was sent there by the emperor Tiberius to keep order, to keep the Jews in line, because they had a history of rebellion and making trouble for the empire. He doesn't believe in the Jewish God, and he keeps trying to hand Jesus back to the religious leaders. You go put him on trial yourselves. I don't want anything to do with him. But in the end, he makes the decision to have Jesus crucified. Even though he may think Jesus is innocent, even though he knows it's the wrong thing to do, he does what is expedient. He is being the stereotypical politician, weighing the opinions of others and doing what's easiest. And he sends Jesus off to be crucified. And we see Jesus in the conversation not standing up for himself and not making a case for himself, not trying to defend himself. We hear him say, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would rise up and take up arms and fight for me." And there's part of me that wants to say, then do it. Tell him to do it. Fight back, Jesus. You're innocent. Don't let them do this. And later, Pilate says, "Don't you know I have the power to release you or to crucify you?" And it looks at first glance like he does. And he uses it to send Jesus to his death. And so at first glance, it may seem that this story may not have much to offer us if we're feeling powerless and helpless and broken and weak. But we have different eyes. We are invited to see this story in a different light because we know who Jesus is and we know the power that he has. Oh, it's not worldly power. When Pilate's talking about kings and kingdoms, he's thinking about worldly power, the power to dominate, the power to control, the power to conquer, the power of violence and fear. When Jesus says, "My kingdom is not that. My kingdom is not of this world." He'd been tempted at the beginning of his ministry when he went into the wilderness for 40 days. The devil tempted him to be that kind of king. "Look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world to control and dominate and conquer." And Jesus said, "No. That is not the kind of power he will accept or use in the world." The power that Jesus has is invisible to Pilate, but with the eyes of faith, we can see it. And we can see that it is not Jesus who is on trial. It is Pilate who is on trial, and the chief priests who are on trial, and the powers of this world who are on trial. Jesus speaks truthfully to Pilate. As he has in all of these encounters along the way in John's gospel, he offers himself, and Pilate cannot see. And so we know the result of Pilate's trial. So do we have eyes to see the power that Jesus has? The power of vulnerable love. A power that chooses to take on the suffering that is not his own. A power to choose not to defend himself or protect his own power or to keep the status quo, but a power to give his life away for the sake of truth, for the sake of love, for the sake of grace. It may look powerless to the world, but it is the greatest power there is. Last night, we got back kind of late from the pilgrimage to Montgomery, and I see some of you were here this morning after that late night arrival home. This is our second annual pilgrimage to visit the sites in Montgomery and Selma. We missed Birmingham because of a traffic jam, but to hear those stories again and to witness how the power of vulnerable love, the power of organized, non-violent, shared resistance has continued to make a difference, to fight against the powers of the world that want to maintain the status quo. And so this story of Jesus really is, for me, a call to action, to pray with our hands and our feet for a better world, for the beloved community, for the kingdom of God. Never to give in to the forces of violence, never to give in to hopelessness or fear or ultimately to anger, but to trust that the way of Christ, the way of grace and mercy and persistence and justice and hope will never be defeated, ever. As this week goes on, it will sure look like it. As we walk with Jesus, we see him go alone to the cross, and all will go dark. And on Friday night, it will seem to us like the light has been extinguished, that all hope is lost. But then, we will come back here on Sunday, and that tomb will be empty. And we will sing the songs and pray the prayers and lift up our voices to shout to the world that death does not have the final word. The powers of this world have been overturned. And that the God of life, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of resurrection has been set loose in the world and is within us to change the world. Thanks be to God.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we put words to our faith, the affirmation of faith found on number 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you, and you can fill those out and place those in the offering plates in a few moments. This morning, we remember Lee White and Webb White and their family, who are mourning the loss of their father, Thomas Anthony White, who passed away on March 26th. Services were held yesterday, April 1st, at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. Thomas is also survived by Lee's wife, Alexandra White, and Webb's wife, Leah London, and son, Jack White, as well as his ex-wife and good friend, India Weber. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, after the joyful shouts of Hosanna, we hardly have words for what came next. You gave yourself over to something unspeakable, to powers and principalities that sought death and destruction. And yet, through a power greater than death, through the power of your love, that unspeakable event was transformed into reconciliation, into redemption, into new life. Lord Jesus, something unspeakable has happened right here in our community. Lives have been cut short, and innocence has been lost. And we have been confronted with those same powers and principalities that have sought death and destruction over and over again. And we hardly have words for what has happened. We feel powerless in the face of it. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would send your Spirit to help us in our weakness. When we don't even know how or what to pray, send your Spirit to pray in us and for us. Make prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit to comfort all who mourn. Especially this day, we lift up to you the Covenant School community and the families of Evelyn, Hallie, William, Cynthia, Mike, Catherine, and Audrey. Bind up their broken hearts and bring healing in the weeks and months ahead. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit to all who are afraid this day. May they know the power of your presence and the assurance of your abiding love. Send your Spirit to all who are weary. May they be upheld and strengthened by your grace. Send your Spirit to all who are angry. May their anger be channeled into the work of justice and righteousness. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit to transform our world, and send us also. Grant us vision and grant us courage, that through the power of your love, we might work for reconciliation and redemption and new life. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous to us.
they could not know as we do now. We know the power of persistent, vulnerable love to change the world. That power is ours. Let us go forth now to believe it, to live it, and to prepare to celebrate it with great joy when we come back next Sunday. Amen.